Let's pray this morning before we get into God's word. Lord, we just thank you for your grace that covers us. Lord, we thank you for your strength that lifts us. Lord, we thank you for the hope that feeds our spirit. And Lord, we just invite you to just share your heart with us today. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about life. And as we go through life, we experience pain in so many ways and places. And so I had to ask the question, why does life hurt so much? We look in our relationships, and there's a lot of pain in our relationships, whether it be in our friendships, in our marriages. There's a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. There's a lot of disappointment and a lot of expectations broken. In our workplaces, there's a lot of frustration and there's a lot of stress and a lot of difficulties and a lot of obstacles. Even in your personal journey of trying to figure out your destiny or your destination or what you want to do with your life. Some of us are in a period of looking back and examining our lives and thinking, what have I accomplished with my life? And many of us feel very disappointed at the lack of accomplishment, or maybe we are so ambitious that we have all of these goals and we're disappointed in ourselves, and there's a lot of pain and frustration in our lives. And so I want to ask the question this morning, why is there so much pain in our lives? Why does life hurt so much? Typically, I don't like to ask or answer the why questions from the pulpit. I don't like to preach on trying to answer the why questions of life, mainly because in the end, the answer is I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what God is up to. I don't know what God is thinking. However, there's sometimes where there's insight in the scripture that sort of gives us an idea of what God is doing with our lives and helps us answer these difficult questions. And so this morning, I want to talk about maybe this why question. Why does life hurt so much? And maybe the Lord, through his word, can help us understand the bigger picture. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. It's after the Psalms and Proverbs. It's one of the big prophetic books, Isaiah and then Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. It says this in the NASB, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you.' Then I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something." Say something. He was making something. Now, we don't know what that is, but he's making something. "He went to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel, but the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, and it pleased the potter to make." Somebody say pleased. It pleased. So the potter is making something. We don't know what it is. And then he saw something that it was spoiled, and then he remade it into something. And as he remade it into something, it pleased him. I don't know why there's so much pain, but we're going to learn just from God's word, maybe what God is up to in our lives. Many of us have gym memberships, and I don't know how many of us actually go to those gym memberships, but when we start off with a gym membership, the salesperson tries to bait us into purchasing personal training sessions. You know, they try to give us a discount, and they tell us all the benefits of a personal trainer, and some of us say, yeah, I need a personal trainer, and the reason why we want a personal trainer is because we want the personal trainer to give us a program or give us a system to shape our bodies into looking like supermodels and to look like, you know, Pastor Nate, and that's what we want, our goal, that's what our desire is. We want to look like that. And so we ask personal trainers to help us shape our bodies into the form that we want. And so what do personal trainers do? They give us ridiculous amounts of exercise, and they voluntarily put us through painful situations. Now, why would you voluntarily put yourself in a painful situation? Why would you do stretches beyond what you can stretch? Why would you lift beyond what you can lift? Why would you run beyond a couple feet? Why would you want to do that? Why would you voluntarily put yourself through pain? and anguish. I asked some of our ultra runners here, you know, why would you do that? And they would explain to me it's because they feel a joy. They feel an exuberance. They feel exhilaration. I've yet to reach that point. And but when they go through that voluntarily, they know in the end there is a result. And so we go through personal training because we know that in the end, through all of this pain, there will be a result that we want to accomplish. God says, I'm the potter, and you are the clay. God says, I'm the potter, and I want all of us to say, I am the clay. God is the potter, and God is the potter, and one more time, God is the potter. See, because God is shaping you. Now, I want you to think about this. The same God that was shaping Moses, that is shaping Abraham, that is shaping Joseph, that same God is shaping you. The God that shaped Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, that same God is shaping you. And God, who never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is shaping you to be the man, the woman that he wants you to be. So God, as our personal trainer, he is shaping us to the place where it seems best to him. In order to be God's person, you have to go through God's process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In order to be God's person, you have to go through God's process. This summer, we went to UCLA, the school that I went to, and there's this guy named John Wooden, who's quite famous, that my wife wasn't really familiar with. And so we went to the Hall of Fame, and there's this booth and this exhibit of who he is. And as she was reading all the newspaper clippings and all the information, he had won 10 national championships, the most of anybody. I mean, this guy was a winning machine. 88 games straight wins in basketball. And so, but he had one principle. He said, if you want to be a champion, you've got to do it my way. You've got to go through the process. And he has this pyramid of success and things like that. And in order to be a champion, you have to go through the process that I have laid for you. And what God is saying to us is that if you want to be God's person, you've got to go through God's process. Can I get an amen? I was going through a children's book, and I came across this incredible children's story. And it was about a grandmother and a grandfather who was in a gift shop looking to give a gift to their grandfather or granddaughter for her birthday. And suddenly this grandmother spots a beautiful vase, or as many of you say, vase. They spots a beautiful vase and saying, look at this lovely piece of work, she says to her husband. Picks it up and looks at it every angle and says, you are the right gift for my granddaughter. You're one of the loveliest vases that I've ever seen. And at this point, something remarkable happens, something that can only happen in a children's book. The vase begins to speak to the grandparents. And the vase says, thank you for that compliment, but you know what? I wasn't always beautiful. Instead of being surprised that the vase talks, the grandfather continued to have a conversation with this vase. I'd be like, wow, this vase talks. What do you, and the grandfather says, what do you mean you weren't always beautiful? And the vase responds, once I was an ugly, soggy lump of clay, but one day a man came with his dirty, wet hands and he threw me on a wheel and he started turning me around and round so that I was dizzy and that I couldn't even see straight. Stop, stop, I cried. But the man with the wet hands said, not yet. And the man started to poke me and punch me all over and it began to hurt. Stop, stop, I cried. But the man said, not yet. Each time he thought he was done on the wheel, he would crumble and roll me up and begin to poke and punch me again. Finally, he did stop. But then he did something much worse. He threw me into a furnace, and it got hotter and hotter and hotter until I couldn't stand it anymore. Stop, stop, I cried. But the man said, not yet. Finally, when I thought I was going to burn up, the man took me out of the furnace. And then this lady began to paint me, and the fumes got so bad that they made me feel sick. Stop, stop, I cried. Not yet, said the lady. Finally, she did stop, but then she gave me back to the man, and he put me back into that awful furnace, and it got hotter and hotter. Stop, stop, I cried. And the man said, not yet. Finally, he took me out of the furnace and let me cool. And when I was completely cool, a pretty lady put me on this shelf next to this mirror. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I was amazed and I couldn't believe what I saw. I was no longer this ugly, soggy, lumpy, dirty piece of clay, but I was beautiful and firm and clean, and I cried for joy as if vases could cry. But anyways, I'm still amazed that I could talk. But in any case, then it was realized that all this pain was worthwhile. Without it, I would still be an ugly, soggy lump of wet clay. It was then when all the pain took on brand new meaning for me. It had passed, but the beauty that it brought still remains. If you can't tell, I read bedtime stories to my son. But in any case, but this picture of what God can do from the beginning and to what it makes is exactly what he's saying here. I want to reread this passage in verse 18, starting with verse 3. I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel, but the vessel that he was making, the clay, was spoiled. That's a lot like us, that we come before God as spoiled lumps of clay, and that God is the potter, and we are the clay, and that he wants to do something. And so he remade it into another vessel, and it pleased the potter to make. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, listen, verse 6, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I have no reason why in my personal life there's pain and there's sorrow and there's difficulty, but all I do know is that I am clay and he is the potter. He is the potter and I am the clay. And as he is saying in the book of Jeremiah, don't I have the right to mold you and to shape you in the way that I want you to be? Don't I have the right? And so as believers, as followers of God, what he calls us to is to total surrender to what he wants to do. And it will be painful. Any beautiful vase or piece of art as it's created first starts out as a vision. It starts as a design in the picture of the mind of the potter. And see, before the world began, God had a vision, and in his mind, he already knows what he wants you to be. And if you look at our lives right now, we are definitely not there yet. But he is the potter and I am the clay. He is the potter and I am the clay. And he is going to mold us and shape us if we would let him. I want to do something as Jesus did. Jesus, he took ordinary events, lifetime events. He took nature and he took different customs of his time. And he began to use them as illustrations to describe the kingdom of God. And so I'm not going to exegete or exposit this passage, but I'm going to do something that Jesus did, is I'm going to tell you a sort of an illustration or story that hopefully you can understand mimics the kingdom of God. And so if we look at the process of a potter and how he sculpts this, his main ingredient is clay. And in order to get clay, it's not on the surface of the ground. He has to dig deep, take his shovel, and dig deep into the surface to get this clay, deep in the earth, the clay that's been shaped and molded and been in the ground for a long time. This is kind of like the Spirit of God, a picture of the Spirit of God who comes down from heaven, and he begins to pick us up from the miry clay, from where we're at, from the depths of where we're at. And he begins to take that material, and he puts it in a trough, and then he covers it with water. And the lumps in the clay are softened, and they're stirred in the water until it is disintegrated. And now you have this kind of slimy sort of mud that's been formed, and then it just sits there for 6 months. That's the process. This clay, he gets it from the ground, and he doesn't form it right away. He prepares it, he waters it, he cleanses it, he gets this all the lumps out, and then he puts it there, and he just sits there for 6 months before it's even ready to be used. And the longer that it sits, the more ready it becomes. In other words, this clay that when it starts out is useless. It's our natural condition. However, God sees what he wants us to be, and then he makes us in this process to be at a place of usefulness. And then the next step is quite interesting. He takes this clay after it's ready for 6 months, and he puts it, after it's been cleaned and processed, he puts it on this table, and then he begins to beat it with a wooden mallet. Boom! Boom, he begins to beat this clay, begin to beat this mud. And the purpose of that is so that he can remove all the air bubbles in this clay. I know we have some art teachers, and so, please correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the process that if there are air bubbles in this clay, When it gets into the fire, when it gets into the furnace, it's going to crack and it's going to cause problems. So you've got to get all the air bubbles out. I remember when I was in primary school, you know, making, you know, ashtrays for my mom and dad, even though they didn't smoke. You know what I'm talking about? Right? It's like, let's do a pottery pot project, you know, and everyone's making vases. And I'm like, I'm not going to make a vase. I'm going to make something unique and special. I'm going to make an ashtray. And I present it to them and they're like, what is it? I go, you can't tell. You know, I'm like in fifth grade. You can't tell what it is. It's an ashtray. And they're like, oh, thanks. We don't smoke. And then I realize, oh, okay, maybe I'll use it for later or something like that. But that's part of the process, that you beat out all the air bubbles, because if they're air bubbles, it's going to crack and destroy it. So you've got to beat it out. You've got to beat it out. And let me tell you, I think for some of us in this room, we feel like that's where we're at. We feel like the air bubbles are being beat out of us. And we're like, we don't understand what is going on. Why does it have to feel like this? Why does it have to be like this? Oh, because God has a plan for your life. He has a vision for you. And he wants you to be this beautiful vessel. And he's got to get out all the air bubbles. He's got to get it all out. He's got to beat it out of you, because you're going to go through some fire. You're going to go through some difficulties, and unless those are gone, you're going to crack, and you're going to encounter problems. And so he wants to do that. And so he wants to take to the clay that you are, he wants to form you, and he wants to and shape you. And as I look at God, God is in the junk collecting business. He likes to take the junk of this world, and he likes to transform, and he likes to change it. He doesn't like to start off with gold or silver. He doesn't want superstars. He just wants clay. He says to all of us, give me some clay. That's all I need. A lot of us, as we're going through our Christian life, we feel like we need to be better or stronger than we really are. We need to present an image of ourselves as stronger and better. And you know what God says? God says, hey, I need some clay. Just give me some clay. I don't need anything nice or beautiful. Just give me some clay. Because he's able to make jewels out of your junk. Come on, somebody. He's able to make a treasure out of your trash. He's able to give you glory out of your garbage. Let's see, what's a British term? He's able to make riches out of your rubbish. Oh, come on, somebody. He's able to receive worship out of your wastefulness. Come on, somebody. This is the God that we serve. Give me your trash. I'm going to make treasure. Give me your rubbish. I'm going to give you riches. Give me your garbage. I'm going to give you glory. That's the kind of God we serve. Can I get an amen? He just wants your clay. He just wants clay. But he's got to beat the air bubbles out of it, because he knows that if you go through some fire, you're going to crack. And then the next thing, it doesn't get any better, by the way. He takes this clay after he's beaten you up. He throws you on this wheel. And this wheel is a violent wheel. It's not just a slow turning, you know, merry-go-round carousel at Disneyland. No. It's fast. It's violent. And then he begins to throw more water and more water on you. And the clay, if it's personified like a person, as it's spinning dizzily on this wheel, as it's being violent, you know, this clay has a natural tendency to fight and say, I don't want to go through this. This is scary. I'm getting dizzy. I'm getting wheel sickness, if there's such a term. But we have to understand that as the clay is on the wheel, it's going to hurt. Hit somebody next to you and say, hey, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. See, because the potter is molding you on centrifugal? I have no idea, man. It's one of those. Centripetal, centrifugal force, right? It molds you, it hurts, and it goes around, and it's violent. But I feel like this is what we have to understand through this whole process, is that the Lord is whispering in our ears, hey, it's going to hurt. And here we are on that wheel, violently spinning around, saying, I don't want it to hurt. It's going to hurt. No, I don't want it to hurt. Molding hurts. See, the reason why I think God puts you on that wheel is because he knows what you're going to become. Can I get an amen? He knows what your future holds, and you're only on the wheel right now, and he's got to do what he's got to do, because he sees you as someone who's going to impact the world, to influence the world. He's not seeing you as someone who is down on your luck or sad about your circumstances. He wants you to catch up to what he sees in you. He wants you to catch up to that because he sees you as greater, that his strength is perfect in you, that in your weakness he will be made strong, that he wants to use just earthen vessels so that we know that this glory is not from ourselves, but it's this all-surpassing power that comes from God. And so he sees you and he says, look, it hurt Abraham. It hurt Moses. It hurt Jacob. It hurt Joseph. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And as God puts us on this wheel and as we're going through some different disciplines, can I tell you something? It's really tempting to get off this wheel, isn't it? It's tempting. It's like, you know, this is too much for me to handle. I can't handle this. You know, all of the joys of life is pulling at me. And as we're going on this wheel, we're wobbling and wobbling. There's instability. We're wobbling. And we're like, get me off of this wheel. Just get me off. I can't handle it anymore. I don't want to stay here. But there's one thing that once we're on the wheel that we have to say to the Lord, God, I surrender. I surrender to you, to what you want to do. And so many of us, we've accepted Christ and we've come to church and we say, Lord, I surrender. We sing those songs, I surrender all. Can I tell you something? Here's my observation. It's easy to surrender, but it's difficult to stay surrendered. Oh, that was good. If I could just be like P. Sam. Oh, that was great. That was great. That was good. It's easy to surrender. I can even ask you right now, will you surrender your life to Christ? Yes, I will. How about tomorrow? That's another thing. Can you surrender your life to Christ today? Yes, I will. Can you do it for 40 days straight? Oh, I don't know about that. Can you surrender your life to God? Definitely, because I know what the cross did. Can you surrender when you're going through a difficult time in your marriage? Can you surrender when you're going through a difficult time at work? Oh, I don't know. See, it's easy to surrender, but it's difficult to stay surrendered. And so when we're on this wheel spinning violently, and when we, as clay, are being wobbled, you know, it's easy to surrender, but it's so tempting to get off. I want to get off of this wheel. It's too violent. It's too difficult. It's too painful. I want to get off. But I want to encourage you to not only start surrendered, but to stay surrendered, because there's something powerful that's going to happen in your life. Can I get an amen? And so this wheel is symbolic of our circumstances and the situations that our life brings our way. Life seems to be like a spinning circle. The trials and the problems, they just keep coming one after another. And knowing us as clay, we want to fight. You know, we want to get off. But one thing that you have to remember, listen, it's the potter always controls the speed of the wheel. The potter always, with his feet, is controlling the speed of the wheel. And so it rotates according to what his will is. He is always in control of the speed. Never forget that God is in control of the speed of the wheel that you're on, regardless of the things that you face. You might think that it's too fast for you. Oh, but God says, no, I need to go this fast. I need to go this speed. I need to do this because there's a reason. I think any speed we would feel is too fast. But God says, no, I'm in control of the speed. You're not going to fall off. Why? Because check this out. When the pottery is on the wheel, the potter's hands never leave the clay. See, because if the potter's hands left the clay while it's spinning, this clay is going to just spin off, and it's going to be thrown off. In order to keep it on the wheel, the potter's hands, are you feeling what I'm saying? Are you hearing this? The potter's hands are always on the clay. In the midst of this violent turning, in the midst of the wheel, the hands of the potter is always on the clay. It never leaves. Otherwise, the clay will just fly off. And so I feel like the Lord is saying to us, listen, you are on this wheel of life. You are spinning violently. You are experiencing difficulty and pain. But the hands of the potter is on you. Can I get an amen? The hands of the potter is always on you. It stays, it molds, it shapes, it brings the clay along to guide it. And if he were to ever remove his hands, we would be in big time trouble. But if you look back at your life, oh, the hands of the potter has always been on you. And so I want to say to us this morning, stay on the wheel. Oftentimes we jump off voluntarily before we are formed into the thing that God wants us to be. Don't step off. Don't jump off, but just know that his hands are still on you. And as his hands are on this clay, rotating around, it's trying to feel for any flaws, for any lumps. It's trying to feel for that. And if it feels that, you know what he does? Because the clay is moldable and pliable in his hands, he actually will take it and he will start fresh. He will take the existing piece and he will start fresh and do it all over again. He won't discard it. He won't discard this clay that as he's molding and shaping and as he finds flaws and problems with it and lumps, he doesn't just throw away and start all over. Do you know why? It's because he's invested so much time into it already that he doesn't start all over, but he starts by remolding it and reshaping it, and he puts it back on the wheel. He puts it away. And a lot of us, we go through life through this pain and we ask the question to God, God, where are you? And you feel like, God, have you just thrown me away to be forgotten on the side? Are you absent from my life? Have you taken your hands off of my life? Is the favor of God off of me? Because we're going through a lot of bad luck, a lot of difficulties, a lot of depressing things. God, where are you? Oh, but that's never the case because he is the potter and we are the clay. And as the potter, his hands are always on you. When there's flaws, he doesn't discard you or throw you away. He starts all over again to make sure that you are perfect to be the one that he wants you to be. And in that process, he begins to cut away the excess that is not productive, that is not worth it. He begins to cut away in our lives. He begins to cut away the sin. He begins to cut away the attitudes and the characteristics that are keeping us from him. And most times in my life, it is the times when I'm struggling, when I'm on that violent wheel where I cry out to God, God, you've got to stop this. You've got to stop this. God, it hurts too much. And he says, not yet, not yet. Not yet. And so you think that would get a lot better, right? After all of this violence and after all of this molding, reshaping, you know, hammering out air bubbles, oh, it only gets more difficult. The next step is you got to throw them into the oven. You've got to throw them into the fire. And the temperature feels that it's so hot. It feels like it's so hot. But you've got to understand the reason why it's got to be so hot is because it's got to burn off the impurities that's in the clay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the purpose of the heat is to burn off the impurities in our lives, to burn off the sin in our lives. So you've got to go through some heat. And most of us are saying, God, it's too hot. And he's saying, no, it's not. You think it's so hot, but look, you've got some impurities in your life that's got to be burned away. And so he gradually turns up the heat. See, if the heat goes on too fast, then it'll crack and fall apart. But sometimes the clay thinks, I can't stand any more heat. But can I tell you something? The potter knows exactly the degree of heat that is needed. The potter knows. The potter knows exactly how much heat. And see, because through all of this molding and through all of this shaping, you will go through some fire in your life. You will go through some difficult times in your life. You're going to go through some fire. You're going to say, God, this fire's too hot. I can't handle the high heat here. And the Lord says, you've got to go through it. You've got to go through it. And so it begins to dry out this pottery. It begins to dry up the water. And it begins to, on the molecular level, it begins to fuse the molecules together so that it would be strong and firm. And that is the purpose of this heat, that the temperature's got to be so hot that the vessel actually fuses to itself so that it becomes solid as a rock. And it's through these trials and through these pains and through these difficulties that God is fusing you to be together so that you can stand strong through the winds and through the storms of life, that you can be this perfect, beautiful vessel that God wants you to be. And I will tell you, you will never know how strong you are until you've gone through some fire. You will never know how God's grace is sufficient for you if you don't go through some fire. And so now we go through some fire, and now we come up, and the potter will take the vessel out of the fire. And you know what he does? He puts it on a shelf. Just to sit around. Maybe some of you are in that place where you've gone through some difficult fire, you've gone through some painful times, and now you're like, what is going on here? God, nothing is happening. I've been praying for a year for a job and nothing is happening. And maybe some of you are sitting on that shelf waiting to cool down. This is the process that pottery goes through to be this perfect vessel of beauty that the potter in his mind has already decided to do. Takes them out of the fire and puts them on a shelf. And I can imagine the vessel sitting on the shelf thinking to itself, what am I doing here? How come nothing is happening? All I'm doing is sitting around, just waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, the truth is, you've got to wait. You've got to cool down until God has the finishing touches for you. And so the potter takes that vessel down, and this is hopefully where we want to be. He takes that vessel down from the ground, begins to paint it, begins to glaze it, begins to do beautiful artistry on it. And now we know that this vessel is ready for display. This vessel is ready for display. And so God is able to take this final thing through the process and display it into something so magnificent, so beautiful, so wonderful. This morning, I feel like this is where many of us are at, that we're going through just small things. Some of us going through big things. Some of us going through immense things. Some of us going through painful things. And we're wondering, God, why is life so painful? I feel like the word of the Lord this morning is saying, look, listen. Just, you need to surrender, not only now, but you need to continue to surrender. Because I am the potter, and you are the clay. Can I not do what I've done to Israel, to you? Can I not, as a potter, do unto this piece of clay? Can I not do that unto you? And see, God looks at a murderer like Moses and says, I'm going to make you a liberator of my people. He takes a shepherd boy like David. He says, I'm going to turn you into a king. When everybody else sees a little shepherd boy, you know what I see? I see a king. If somebody were to say that Elijah was going to be the president of the United States, I would laugh. I would just say, you're ridiculous. But God saw this little shepherd boy, and he saw a king. He took a fisherman, an uneducated fisherman like Peter, and he made him into an apostle. He took a persecutor like Paul and he turned him into one of the greatest preachers of all time. He is able to take a piece of clay that looks like nothing, that's been beaten up, broken down, busted and disgusted. He's able to take that piece of clay and he's able to make it into something beautiful. He's able to take the ashes of your life that has been burned by life. And he's able to make it into something beautiful. God is able to take a tax collector like Zacchaeus and make him a disciple of Christ. And God says, all I need is a piece of clay. See, because what God sees in you is not what you see in yourself. God sees in you something greater than you can see. You might see your life as being pathetic. You might see your life as being disgusting. You might see your life as being unworthy or unimportant or insignificant. But God says, no, you're just going through the fire right now. You're just going through the wheel right now. You're just going and you're just sitting on the shelf right now. But I'm going to make you into something beautiful. Can I get an amen? Because Philippians says, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of completion of Jesus Christ. See, because God is beginning a good work in you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you that way. He didn't bring you this far to leave you in the place that you're at. He didn't go to the cross to leave you like you are. He went to the cross so that you could receive glory and resurrection. He went to the cross so you could experience life to the fullest. He went to the cross so that you could be a beautiful vessel displayed for all the world to see to give God glory. He didn't take you this far to leave you that way, but he's going to be faithful to complete it all the way to the end. Can I get an amen? So where are you at today? I can't answer the question, why is life so painful? But all I know is that he is the potter and we are the clay. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I don't know why people lose their jobs. I don't know why there's broken relationships. I don't know why that brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers hate each other. I don't know why. But I do know that he is the potter and I'm the clay. And God has a plan and purpose, but we have to go through his process. If you believe that, someone say amen. Let's bow our heads. See, as the great potter, God's desire is to make us into something beautiful that is useful to bring glory to him. The key is that we've got to remember that the Lord can shape us if we submit to his loving hands. And the hands as the potter that is on the clay are loving hands. They're hands that create. They're hands that fix. They're hands that heal. They are hands that give life. They're hands that can take the rubbish and make it into something incredible. So I want to ask you this morning, maybe you're on the wheel, maybe you're in the furnace, maybe you're sitting in the on the shelf, or maybe you're getting air bubbles beaten out of you, but in the end, the Lord has a purpose and a reason, and it's not to harm. It is not for evil, but it's for good. For Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to be good for those who love him in Christ Jesus. Will you surrender to him this morning? See, because you could fight it. You can try to fight getting off the wheel. You can get off the wheel. But as you know, if you get off that wheel and you look at yourself, you're still just an ambiguous piece of clay who has just gone through that process for nothing, who's just gone through that process. Why would you voluntarily go through pain with a personal trainer? Why would you do that? It's because your personal trainer has a plan for you and he knows it's going to work. And God is molding us and shaping us to be the person that he wants us to be. Before we sing this response song, can we just say to the Lord and confess to the Lord, God, you are the potter, I am the clay. Shape me to who you are, and I surrender to all of the things that are happening in my life. I surrender to you. Can we confess that with our mouth? God, you are the potter, and I am the clay. Father, open our eyes to see, God, that your loving hands are on us, shaping and molding as you wish, and that it pleased you, that we were once spoiled in your hands, but in your hands you made us into something beautiful, and it pleased you. And Lord, we do give you permission to, like the clay in the potter's hands, that you can mold us, oh God. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for our trials. We thank you, Lord, for the character that it builds. We thank you, Lord, for the endurance that we grow in. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that is Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this song in response, and you can stand, you can kneel, you can sit, but let's just sing this to the Lord as he is our potter.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Sing, change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the Father. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. So you are the potter. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, and make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
Yes, Lord, we just ask that you change our attitudes and our hearts and our understanding of who you are, God. Lord, you are greater than the pain that we experience. You are greater than the difficulties that we are. Lord, you are greater than the attitudes that we harbor against you, God. So, Father, we ask that you would mold us and make us. Lord, we declare you are the potter, and we are just simply clay, and we give you permission, Lord, to mold us and to make us. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we close with our benediction. Father, you are the great potter. You are the great God, the creator of the universe. You are our Lord and our Savior, our Master. And Lord, we just thank you that your hands are always with us. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week.